Well, speaking of tough situations, I want to preach for a little while about going, keeping going when going gets tough. The old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I'm not going to preach on that statement, but there are some things that we can biblically follow when things go wrong. And somehow we have bought into the false narrative that if you do right, things will be leveled out and all will be smooth. We've bought into that philosophy, that thinking, and because we've bought into that erroneous thinking, then when things happen to us that are not good or that seem to be not good, then we're questioning God or we're questioning ourselves. And I might tell you before we get started that whenever things happen to me, I do usually do a quick checklist. Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Is there something that you're trying to straighten me out on? But oftentimes you look and you're sincere in your search in your heart and your life, and there's nothing known in your life that you're out of God's will. You're not trying to hide anything or do anything wrong. And then you just have to say, well, the Lord's will be done. Because the error in thinking of those things, that if we do right, then our life will be smooth, we're going to have a hard time convincing Job of that when we get to heaven. And Job's not the only one. We're going to have a hard time convincing the Apostle Paul of that. Some old preacher said that the Apostle Paul never checked out hotels when he went there. He wouldn't have gone to a website to check out hotels. If anything, he would have checked out the accommodations of the local jail, but because he was more likely to be there than he was in the hotel. And so we'd have a lot to explain, but we find ourselves in Acts chapter 4, and we're looking at a passage of Scripture, and we're going to take some practical helps about how those that are serving the Lord, how when things go wrong, they find strength and how God helps them heal. And we see in Acts chapter 4, verse number 23, we'll look down through that passage. But we're going to get you up to speed over in chapter 3. You don't have to go there, but over in chapter 3, Peter heals the lame man, and then he gives that sermon in chapter 3, verse 12, down through somewhere there, through the end of it almost. And then Peter and John are put into custody, if you'd look at chapter number 4, and they spake unto the people, and the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. They're being grieved that they caught the people and preached. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. And so Peter and John get put into prison there in the first few verses of that chapter. And then Peter preaches to the Sanhedrin. You might know that he would, because he did every chance he got. And then at the end, verse number 13, 14, 15, the Sanhedrin, they command Peter not to be preaching anymore and tell Peter and John, don't be speaking anymore like that. And so they're getting their warnings, and they're beaten and threatened and cast out. And so needless to say, we could put in today's terminology, vernacular, having a bad day. What do they do? So that's all the setup, and now we're going to look in verse number 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go from what? Being let go from that beating and all of the chastisement that they've got and all of that, that they told them that they shouldn't speak anymore. And they being let go went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Give a little history lesson in their prayer time here. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Isn't it amazing what they just got in trouble for? That's their prayer emphasis. Lord, I pray they just got beaten half to death and they're going to go do it again. You better give them some more strength. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times say, Lord, I got beat half to death. Help me to avoid that crowd. I'm not going to do that again. But they pray, say, Lord, I'm going back in. Give them strength, boldness that they may speak thy word. I'll stop there. We may look at some of the rest of it. But I think about what they did when the going got tough. There are people all around our church who used to be in a Bible-believing church somewhere. They used to be going somewhere to hear the word of God, and they were actually involved and they were laboring. There's other people who are in this church and in other churches that they used to be serving and they used to be involved, and they wanted to find something that they could do to knock holes in darkness, as the old preacher said. They wanted to do something, but now they've been a little bit hurt, too hurt, and they're sitting on the sidelines and not getting engaged. But we don't find that tendency in these apostles. We don't find that that's what they do. And I want to look in these verses and trust that God would help us get a few bits of help about what they did so that we would better know what we ought to do. First of all, if you look in verse number 23, they got encouraged by other believers. And being let go, where did they go after they got beat down and just ridiculed and chastised and whipped and told not to do anymore? Being let go, they went to their own company. Went back to their kind, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. The Bible says back in the Old Testament that iron sharpeneth iron. And so there is something that is to be said when Christian people get together, because you're able to encourage one another. And as these apostles get beat down put on them, then they go back to those that they know that can give them some strength. And as David found out when he was, as the psalmist, he found out that there was nobody but the Lord that could help in some of the places that God allowed him to go in. David had Jonathan to encourage him. Barnabas was that son of consolation. He was that builder and the lifter. And sometimes it is true that all you'll have is God, but there are many times that God will use other people in your lives to be that encouragement, and it'll be that person that can be your lifter. What kind of believers did they go to? First of all, they went to the spiritual ones in verse number 24. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Apparently, the people that they went to were those that could pray and those that could get a hold of God. As they went back to their friends, the friends that they went back to were those that loved the Lord, because they were ready at a moment's notice to go to prayer and to God. And I hope that you and I have plenty of people, when things go wrong, that you don't even always need to explain what's going on. It's just a text or it's just a call to somebody to say, I don't have time to explain, but please pray for this right now if you would. I want those people, and I want to be that person that can say, you got it. Right before the service, I texted two pastors that their service was starting, and I'm glad they didn't answer, because their service was starting at 6, and I texted them and says, I know you won't answer this, but I'm praying for your service right now. I want to be that kind of person that helps and encourages people, and this is what these beat down apostles got to see. They had those people that lifted up their voices to God. Reformers Unanimous is a addictions ministry that we used to have in the church there in Ohio, and one of the principles that the guiding principles of that program was, those who do not love God will not help us serve God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having friends that you borrow a mower from, or you loan your mower to, or there's nothing wrong. We should have friends that we can take care of and help and be a witness to if they're not saved. But you certainly, as a believer, find a biblical mandate to have those people in your life that will help you in your walk with God. The spiritual ones. But not only that, the encouraging ones. Look on in verse number 24 again. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all them in. And they go to prayer for them. Not only are they spiritual ones, but they're ones that lift up their voice and they encourage other people. They got encouraged by believers. There are believers, and then there are believers. And I want to be one of those second group that really know the Lord and are able to help others in their time of need. When you get down and you think you can't make it, you don't need somebody else who doesn't think you can make it either. Some people are miserable comforters. Say, listen, I'm low and I've got some bad things on my heart. And then you've got that person says, whew, you're right. You are in a bad shape. You don't need that friend. You need that friend that's going to be that encourager, that one that's completely, emphatically, and totally, and wholly convinced that God can work in your problem. Now, they may not be the most chipper Chad of the whole group. They may not be up all the time, but he or she needs to have that confidence that God can and will work in your situation. They were those encouraging believers. We need a friend who says, we're going to see what God's going to do through this. So they got encouraged by other believers. But not only that, also in verse number 24, they themselves prayed. They lifted up their voice. Look down in verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they had prayed, the apostles, they encouraged, and the other encouragers around them, they had this prayer meeting. And so can I remind you that the next time there's a problem comes in your life, don't wait till the end to start praying. Pray at the beginning. Our first response should be prayer, not our last resort. I've read a story of Hudson Taylor, that great missionary that went to China. He made a voyage on a sailing vessel, and as it neared the channel, so the Chronicles of Time says, it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra. This missionary, he heard an urgent knock on his door, and as the urgent knock on the door, he stood, and it was the captain of the ship. He said, Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen and I fear they're cannibals. What can I do? Asked the missionary. The captain said, I hear that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind. But this is where faith comes in. He says, all right, I will, but you must set the sail. And the captain said, I can't, that's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. The sailors will think I'm crazy. But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. Taylor said that 45 minutes later, there was another urgent knock at the door. And there was the captain again and said, we have all the wind that we can handle. Please stop praying. There are people in your life, I hope there are, that you can count on being those encouraging people. I've told you before, but my mother-in-law was the prayer warrior of our family, of Amy's family. And so much the void has been felt by her going on to heaven. And so I want you to realize that these people, when the going got tough, they went to believers that encouraged them. And when the going got tough, they went to people who prayed for them. Whether you're in that one that's in the problem or you're the friend that that problem person goes to, may we find ourselves being those type of people, those friends that pray. And I might I'm speaking of you to have that type of friend, but I'd also like for us to develop the habit of being that kind of friend. I don't want to be the needy one all the time. I want to be the one that the Lord uses to meet the needs in other people's lives. Well, that's going to require that we walk with the Lord and we stay close to Him and that we're able to go to prayer on a moment's notice and we're able to see the Lord do certain things. There are wonderful men who I have utmost respect for in the room tonight that today I gathered them on a moment's notice and said, please, let's pray for a certain need that was there. There was another group of men that prayed for a different need. And I'm thankful for people that are saying, yes, let's go, and that are ready to do battle for the Lord. They got encouraged by other believers. They prayed. And then in verse number 31, I give you the third one, and that's they waited for God to move. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now, I don't know that that statement is right because that means that you're the one doing the work. But when the going gets tough, they got encouraged by other believers. They got encouraged by spiritual ones and by encouraging ones. And secondly, they prayed. But then thirdly, they waited for God to move. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Hudson Taylor was shut up in that room as that captain had come and said, "We need you to pray." And he was shut up in that room until God blew that boat right back on course. I think there's often times when I've stopped praying before God worked. It wasn't that he wasn't working, it's just that it wasn't visible yet. And sometimes I'm afraid that I stopped right before God did something major. I don't know how this will all work, but I believe we'll get to heaven and we'll find some times when there were breakthroughs that were coming, but we stopped right before we saw it happen. That's why this morning I wanted to reignite a desire in your heart to pray for people in your life that aren't saved. Don't give up. Don't stop praying that the Lord would convict them and show them their need for a Savior. They need you. You may be the only person they have that's going to God. You say, "Why doesn't God just do it without me?" Because God wants to pull you into that whole program and see you in His beautiful plan and wants to use you as the hands and feet and the prayers that could do something great. And as this place was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But again, my problem oftentimes is that I simply don't wait for God to work. Be like the one fellow said, "Lord, I'd like to have patience, and please give it to me in a hurry." We're not patient in what we want, and we're not patient in how we pray. Seek the Lord, and most of us are familiar with the way that that's listed, so I'm told, folks that are intelligent about that, that asking and seeking and knocking is in such a way that it implies that you continue to ask and you continue to seek and you continue to knock. How many of you have children somewhere in the world? You're not exactly sure where they are right now, but you have them somewhere. Now, if yours are 4 and you don't know where they are, then that's a problem. Ours are 20, well, ours 25. We don't know exactly where he is, but we're pretty well sure. Well, those of you who've had children, you've got them somewhere. How were they when they were a toddler and they wanted something? Oh, they were just annoying. Asking again and again and again and again, "Can I, can I, can I, can I, can I, can I, can I?" And until oftentimes you give in. Well, that's the way that asking and asking and asking is. Lord, would you please? You say, are we manipulating God? Not on your life. God's the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. You can't pull anything over. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. You can't sneak up on him. You can't trick him. You can't do anything that makes him surprised by anything. But what we can do is show him our desire to see him work in the lives of those people that we love. They waited for God to move. I'm told an old evangelist, Lester Roloff, from bygone years, would sit on the platform. He would flip through his Bible, sit there and tell them to sing again, looking for something to preach. Not that he didn't have something to preach. He was living in the Word. There was more that he could preach than he could ever get done in one service, I'm told. But he was just looking for the place that God wanted him to light or land that night, just waiting on God. And then when he felt like this was the place, then he'd tell them that's enough. They'd stand to preach. He was waiting for the Lord to move. Yesterday in the service for Miss Wampler, somebody mentioned that Brother Gary Seaman was here to do the service. He mentioned the changes in a 100-year-old's life that she had seen. One of those was a microwave. When she had started off life, you wouldn't have had a microwave. Amazing, people didn't starve to death back then. It's amazing. But we get so used to having things very quickly. I'm not trying to get us to go back to a time when you didn't have microwaves, because why stop there? Why don't you go back to a place where they didn't have electric stoves or gas stoves? Why don't you go back to where all you had was an old wood stove that you had to cook on it? If you're going back, why don't you just go back to where there was a fire pit out in the... There's no sense in saying we're going to go back. But just for a moment, think about this. Everything that we want in our life is usually pretty quick. There's oil lubes downtown. It's 10 minutes. Some of them around are, you wait in your car. You just pulled in, you wait in there. We ain't got time. They let you down and you're off to the races again. They advertise on other products or services, same day service. You get it in by now and you'll get it out by then. I'm amazed at how quickly Amazon gets your stuff here. It gets a lot of stuff quickly at our house. I told Aim, I got a picture of one of the Amazon trucks in our driveway. When you get a Christmas card this year, if Amy gets to choose it, it'll have all of our family on it. If I get to choose it, it'll have an Amazon van. We're amazed at how quickly things come. If you live close to an Amazon fulfillment center, they're getting it to where you'll get it same day. We like things quick. We like it microwaved. We don't want to wait. But there's still the economy that God has for us in certain things that He wants us to wait on Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, Pastor, I don't like that. I didn't say we would like it. I'm just saying that's sometimes the way it is. And what this group of believers found when they had prayed, they waited for the Lord to do something, and they waited for Him to move. These apostles could have easily gotten scared off and just said, nope, I'm done. We're finished. We narrowly escaped with our life. God let us get out, so we're never going back. But notice that's not their heart. We narrowly escape with our life, so pray that we have safety for the next time we go right back in. What a walk of faith. But before they go back into the next battle with the wicked one, they get encouraged by believers. They pray, and they wait for a little while for God to move. I'm challenging you tonight to have that friend that is your prayer warrior. But then I'd like for you to go a little step further, and that is to be that friend that your friend needs. We have lost some wonderful, wonderful prayer warriors in our church, and we need to see God raise up some that would be those replacements of the ranks. Say, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. You just get started. The Lord will show you. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us to be those that somebody needs for us to be. Lord, I pray that we would also get the lesson when things get tough. Lord, we don't take and run and hide. Instead, we get around those believers. Our heads are bowed. Let me tell you this before I finish that prayer. Do you know what I watch people do on a regular basis when things get tough? They go away from the very thing that they need. They need the fellowship and the encouragement and the strengthening of God's people, and that's the thing they give up. They're running from the thing that would help them, and then they wonder why they're feeling unfit and why they can't go on. Let me get back to praying. Father, I pray again that you would help us to surround ourselves with those believers that can encourage, that can lift, that can build, that can strengthen. Because, Lord, this world is beating us down every single day. And then, Lord, I pray not only we would surround ourselves with those people, but I pray that we would also be those people for somebody else's benefit. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. As the ladies play, if you're able to, I'd ask you to stand. This is our invitation time. I invite you to come. You may be going through one of the deepest valleys of your life right now. I invite you to come and pray about it. Maybe there's somebody that you know they need you, and you've not been the friend that they need you to be. Let's be honest. You don't have to tell me about it, but I'm asking you to tell God about it. You know that there are friends in your life who should be able to count on you, but your life has not been in such a way that you can be the friend that they need you to be. My friend, let's get to that place tonight. Whatever is in your life that's not going right, whatever thing is in your life that's causing you to stumble, let's get it right so we can be that friend that your friend needs. Maybe tonight you've got some lousy comforters, as Job talked about. You don't have a group of friends that will encourage and will pray and will strengthen and will bolster. My friend, there are some great ones right here in this room. You need to get on a text group somewhere and humble yourselves and ask for somebody to help you pray with you through a problem. I invite you to pray. I invite you to come. Would you come and pray and give whatever it is that's going on in your life to God? Maybe you're here tonight not sure that you're saved. My friend, I never like to close a service without asking. If you don't know for sure that you know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in front of me. Would love to take a Bible and show you how to be certain of that. If you're a lady, he would have a lady deal with you and take her time and just show you from the Scripture. We can't get anybody to heaven, but Jesus wants to save everybody. Whatever your need is, would you come? As she plays one more verse, as they play, this is yours. Are you that friend that your friend needs? Are you walking with God? Are you ready at a moment's notice to pray with them? Not in a token manner or that doesn't mean anything at all, doesn't do any good, but I mean really pray for them. Or are you so messed up that you can't even be that prayer partner with somebody? Are you always looking to somebody who doesn't know the Lord or doesn't walk with Him for your advice and for your help? My help cometh from the Lord, and the Lord's going to use some people that are walking close to Him. Thank you so much. You may look this way. One of these days, I know I mention this from time to time, not to be fatalistic, but one of these days, it'll be the last time for us to be in church. And I look around this crowd and I'm so grateful that God allows us to get to rub shoulders together, encourage one another. And I pray that God would allow that to happen a lot more in the coming days. And I challenge you to reach out to somebody this week that you think needs some help, that you believe needs some strengthening, and text them, call them, stop by, and be that friend that somebody needs. I want to remind you that about Tuesday, a big day, we'll have the Oasis. If you're 55 plus, please come out. Brother Troy is a grill master extraordinaire. If he's not, we're going to call him that anyways. He's going to be grilling hamburgers and hot dogs, and we'll have a great time out at the pavilion. You come with us. If it pours down rain or something, we'll go in the gym, I guess, right? So we'll do something regardless. And then that evening is that service with the choir from Marietta. It'll be a good time. I believe you'll enjoy all of it. And then don't forget about Mother's Day. Well, it's a joy to see all of you. Thank you so much for being in church. And I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and lead us in a going home song. And Sarah, wrote you upstairs. Let me see. You up there? Well, I bragged on her because she had her mom and dad all the way down here, the second or third or fourth pew. And now she's let them all. Becky, is your mom and dad up there too? See what happened, Sarah? Sarah was walking with the Lord, and she had her parents down here, close to the front, close to the altar. But now, Jeff, are you on the back row of the balcony? Is there one behind you, or is that the back one? That's the furthest back you could get. Yeah, well, we'll pray for you. Yes. No, so good to see Sarah back, and we're glad to see everybody. Miss Emily Radford, thank you for being here. So good to see her, and pray for her as she recovers, and praying for Miss Carol Wallace. She'll get back with us next week, and Michael and Sarah can as they recover and from surgeries. And so Brother David Arnold, just we're thankful that God's raising people back up, and so you continue to pray for them. All right, if you'll sing us a song. lead us in a song. Amy and I will be in the lobby. If you need anything, please stop by.
My Father planned it all, 237. What the Lord.